live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 24th day of August, 2026. I am thrilled to have not only a returning guest to the program today, but also a first-time guest. The returning guest is my dear friend, who also happens to be the very reason you're listening to my program today, because the ministry he founded live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day, Monday through Friday. And I'm speaking of Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder and chairman of the board of First Love Ministries. And First Love Ministries is the umbrella organization that also operates First Love Radio, that you are using to listen to this program today, and also First Love Missions and First Love Publications. And Joe is also the pastor of Christ Bible Church, a confessional Reformed Baptist church in Pleasanton, California. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Joe Jackowitz.
I'm great to be back with you, Chris. Thank you very much.
And why don't you tell our listeners something about First Love Ministries?
First Love Ministries has been around about 30 years. Like you said, there are four organizations underneath the umbrella organization of First Love Ministries. First Love Publications publishes books. We have about 100 on our catalog, and we distribute them worldwide free of charge. We especially bring them to our pastors' conferences at different places throughout the world, and we give stacks of them away to pastors who can't afford their own libraries or their own reference books. And so we have First Love Publications, and our catalog is online. We have First Love Missions, where we three or four times a year go to various countries where we have branches of missions, our missions organization, First Love Missions, in countries like Nigeria, Nepal, Kenya, India. And so we have branch leaders there, and we host conferences there. We go on the radio, and we preach the gospel. We equip pastors with basic disciplines of the pastoral ministry over a week or 2 weeks of seminars, just giving them the basics of the pastoral ministry of the various disciplines like preaching and counseling and the systematic theology and homiletics, hermeneutics, apologetics. And then we send them away with a stack of books to start a library with. And that's First Love Missions. And then we have First Love Radio, which you're listening to, a worldwide live streaming radio ministry, which Iron Sharpens Iron anchors our entire 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week radio ministry. We have a combination of Christian music, very fine, solid Christian teaching coming from pastors, theologians, and Christian teachers from around the world. We are Reformed Baptist in our theological and doctrinal persuasion and confession. And also, we have a brand new, if I might take this opportunity to mention it, we have a brand new two-hour block of programming that airs in the United States between midnight and 10 a.m., depending on your time zone. We call it the African Hour. We now have programming that targets our brothers and sisters in Africa. In other words, it goes all around the world, but we've created 4 half-hour programs. Two of the programs are produced by Zambian pastors like Conrad Mbewe, who is your favorite preacher, of course.
Yep, amen.
And Ronald Polifungwa, who is one of his best friends, who's a pastor as well in Zambia. And we have a half-hour program each of those two brethren. And then we have a program in Kenya produced by a Reformed Baptist church there. And then a program in Nigeria produced by Osinachi Nkwobo and Pastor Tony Okoro. And each program has a little bit of a local flavor where we introduce the program with local music and just the flavor of each country. And I know this is going to be very popular with countries and churches in Africa because they get, you know, almost 10% of our airtime dedicated to programs that come from very capable, qualified, and gifted African pastors and preachers in these countries. So I know 2 o'clock in the morning is very early for guys like you and me. We're getting older and like to push that reset button on the alarm clock. But if you're up around 2 o'clock in the morning, you may want to tune in to First Love Radio and hear these African programs, which they may be listening to right now. Greetings to our friends in Africa. And so that's First Love Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Different genres of radio. You can go on our website at firstloveministries.org and click on First Love Radio, and you can get it right there. We do have an iPhone app for First Love Radio. If you go to your iPhone app and type in firstloveradio.org or thereabouts, you will have the app come up, and you can download it free of charge. And you can get First Love Radio wherever you go around the world. It's of course, everything's free that we do, including our publications, and we've never charged for anything. And that's First Love Radio. And then we have Grace Bible University, where we prepared correspondence courses, Bible study courses, where people can take working towards an associate's degree in Bible, free tuition completely. And we will send you the books and the textbooks free of charge. You just go to firstloveministries.org and click on Grace Bible University. We'll send you an application to fill out. And for those of you who are in the third world listening and you're struggling financially and you don't have anywhere to go to school or to study for the ministry, or you just as a believer want to study the structured teaching of God's word free of charge, go to Christ Bible Church. I'm sorry. Go to firstloveministries.org and click on Grace Bible University, and you'll get all the information. So that's First Love Ministries. Also, you can get Christian books free of charge. Over 100 books in our catalog by going to firstloveministries.org. Click on the link to First Love Publications, and you'll have our catalog come up. And there's all kinds of books on different categories, from doctrine to apologetics to devotional, pastoral, on many, many different topics. That's First Love Ministries.
And it is always a joy every time I have one of my biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons to see the First Love Publications booth there giving away free copies of your literature. It's always a joy, and typically we have other than rare occasions when he is providentially hindered, we have Tom Smith, president of First Love Ministries, there at the luncheons. And I understand that you and Tom will be there at my next one on October 1st.
Yes, you're not going to be able to get away from me this time, Chris. By God's grace, my wife and I will be there, and Tom will be there in Carlisle. Looking forward to seeing you and the brethren there, the pastors. We'll be having quite a few more books to give away. We'll have to start shipping them to you right away for pastors. So if you're a pastor and you want a great time of fellowship, you want some free books that will sharpen you in the pastoral ministry, come to Chris's Pastor's Luncheon on October 1st, I believe it is.
Yes, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Dr. David A. Harrell is our keynote speaker for the very first time. He is the pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Jolton, Tennessee. And he is also the author of a number of books. And one of them is the book from which he is bringing his keynote address, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. And I'm looking forward to meeting Dr. Harrell face-to-face. I've had him on the program several times, but I've never met him face-to-face before, and I'm looking forward to having that opportunity to meet him face-to-face. Everything is free of charge, including the books. So send a free registration, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line and give us your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And we also have joining us for the very first time today, Owen Alford, who is one of the co-pastors alongside of Joe Jackowitz at Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Owen Alford is also on the board of directors of First Love Ministries, and he has been involved in prison ministry for 20 years. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Pastor Owen Alford.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity to share this time with you and Pastor Joe.
Why don't you tell our listeners something about Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California?
Christ Bible Church started early 1990s. I think this is going to be, we're coming up on our 37th year anniversary. As Pastor Joe said earlier, we are a Reformed Baptist church in theology and practice, but we reach out to other churches for like-minded fellowship, preaching, conferences, anything associated with the gospel ministry. The Lord has seen fit to, through many dangers, trials, toils and snares, keep us together and build us up. This coming Sunday, under the blessing of God, we'll be admitting 5 new members.
Praise God.
The church. So we are in the Tri-Valley area, which is adjacent to the San Francisco Bay Area. And Joe will need to correct me, but I think the population of the Bay Area, including the Tri-Valley area, is, I think, 7 million people. And so we have, we're a lighthouse, a spiritual hospital, and a gospel church there in the midst of that many people.
Praise God. And if anybody wants to visit Christ Bible Church, if you live in the Pleasanton, California area, or are passing through, perhaps on vacation or business, or you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in that area, go to ChristBibleChurch.org. ChristBibleChurch.org, and all of the information that you need will be there. Well, we have an interesting theme today on the program: The Smoke Machine Gospel, How Entertainment Replaced Reverent Worship. If you do have a question about worship, please send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before we even go into the theme of the smoke machine gospel, I know that Pastor Joe is very eager and excited to announce the next First Love Bible Conference. This is actually the second annual First Love West Coast Bible Conference, September 17th through the 19th, on the theme End Times Watchfulness. And if you could tell us more about this conference, Joe.
Yes, we've had conferences for 4 years now on the East Coast in Florida and the South, coming up on our fourth annual conference in February, the end of February. But last year, we started one on the West Coast. We didn't want to neglect our West Coast brothers and sisters. So we started a West Coast version of our First Love Ministries conference last year, and that was better than we expected in terms of the turnout. And this year, we're going to repeat that, God willing, coming up on September 17th through the 19th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, September 17th through the 19th, just under a month away. The theme is End Times Watchfulness, Living Godly in the Present Age While Looking for the Glorious Appearing of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know our listeners are very sensitive to the second coming of Christ because we see the signs of the times taking place all around us. And the return of our Lord is not really a doctrine to be debated from a distance, because it's really a divine certainty that every living soul is going to stand before God. And God has told us in Scripture prophetically that his return will be preceded by certain signs of the times. Regardless of the eschatological school of thought you subscribe to, we all agree that there will be signs preceding his return, and the heavens will be opened. But before that, the world's going to be seduced. And of course, they're already blind, but the church will be deceived. The majority of the church, the professing church, that is deceived and apostate, and every life will be exposed in the blazing light of the Lord's presence when he comes. And in that moment, it won't be a matter of how accurately we interpret prophetic charts. If we were asleep in our souls, clinging to the world, tolerating secret sin, or wasting the life of Christ purchased with his blood. And everything we see right now going on in the world in terms of the signs of the times is moving towards fire, towards the world being destroyed and remade by the Lord, as we read about in Scripture. Everything we can see is moving towards eternity. And so the Apostle Peter presses the coming dissolution of all things directly against the conscience when he says, "What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" And so this idea of end times watchfulness is a summons to awaken the church before the trumpet sounds. I don't know about you, but if you're a professing Christian, this is not the time to be sitting on the fence. And we need to hear what the Lord is saying, not audibly, not verbally, but we need to listen and observe these signs that the Lord mercifully and graciously is sending to us before his second coming, and that our hearts would be torn away from the passing pleasures of this age and put secret sins to death and redeem the vanishing hours that are frittering away and live with our eyes fixed upon the approaching Lord Jesus Christ. And so this conference is not intended to satisfy curiosity about the last days. It's not about date setting. It's not about getting sidetracked into numbers and all of that. But it's to prepare a people of God to stand before the Lord of creation on the last day, awake, holy, obedient, faithful and longing for his appearing, to be confident before him at his appearing. And when he does, the only life we will not regret is the life that was wholly lived for him. So if you're concerned about what's going on in the world and being properly prepared, we encourage you to come out to California, visit us between September 17th and 19th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at the West Coast First Love Conference. We'll be giving away thousands of books free of charge. That's right, you heard me, Chris. Thousands of Christian books free of charge, particularly the book Watchfulness by Brian Hedges. We'll be giving that book away to everyone who comes. I just wrote my first little booklet. I'm very, very happy about it. It's called End Times Watchfulness. Oh, that's a coincidence. End Times Watchfulness, the very theme of the conference. That will be printed and distributed as well. Plus, there'll be thousands of other books to be given away free of charge. And so come out to the conference, meet other brothers and sisters who are concerned about staying faithful to the Lord and using every means available to be exhorted, admonished, to be awake when our Lord comes. That's, you can find out all the information, all of the speakers. Let me just give you a short rundown on the speakers. Myself, Pastor Owen Alford, who was on the other line, will be speaking. All of the messages will be related to being watchful in the end times. We'll have Dr. Paul Nelson, Dr. Edward Dalcor, Pastor Max Doner, who will be giving away his 2-volume commentary set on the Book of Revelation, free of charge. We will have Pastor Glenn Nicholas, a pastor in the Bay Area, and Pastor Tom Smith, the president of First Love Ministries, will be there. And Pastor Jim Billings, co-pastor of a church in Morgan Hill, California. Pastor Conley Owens, pastor at the Silicon Valley Reformed Baptist Church. Pastor Ted Mendoza. And I think you already agreed, didn't you not, that you will be here as well?
Oh, that is being worked out, if possible, because of my busy schedule before my pastor's luncheon. I have not yet been able to be 100% positive about that yet, but I hopefully will be able to.
Well, we need you here, Chris, because we're going to put you to work and do your interviewing out there. So, God willing, Chris will be here with us, God willing, in California. So we invite you to bring friends, invite others, tell people who live on the West Coast, get out to the conference. They won't regret it. Everything is free, the food, the books, the fellow, everything, no registration fees. You say, how can you do it? It's called Freely You Have Received, Freely Therefore Give.
Amen. And you go to firstloveministries.org to find out all of that information by clicking on events. Then you click on upcoming events, and then you just scroll down to the second event listed, and that will be this conference, and we'll be repeating that during the course of this program. This, as I said, is a very provocative theme that you have come up with, Joe, the smoke machine gospel, how entertainment replaced reverent worship. And one of the initial things you wanted to address is when the sanctuary becomes a stage, if you could please pick up right there.
Well, I don't know if many professing Christians have their eyes open, but modern churches are committing abominable violations of biblical worship by turning sanctuaries into stages and theaters. And they've transformed pulpits into platforms, and pastors are not pastors anymore, many of them. They're performers, they're entertainers. And it's so grievous to the believer who has the Holy Spirit inside of him or her and needs to be fed with the Word of God. And congregations are now audiences that need to receive performances. It's sickening. And so few professing Christians are sickened by it. And scripture exposition and the regulative principle, which is worship regulated by the Word of God has been displaced by motivational storytelling, and prayer is shortened to preserve the production schedule that the entertainers are glued to. And majestic, Christ-centered praise is really exchanged for this repetitive, self-absorbed anthem, these praise songs. There's nothing wrong with praise songs, but they just repeat the same phrase over and over and over again and stirring themselves up into some, you know, psychological brains. I don't know what you want to call it, but Christ-centered praise really is being exchanged for repetitive, self-absorbed anthems. And the fear of God is really smothered beneath the flashing lights, the neon signs, the synthetic fog, the fog machines. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul wheeling in a fog machine? Evangelist and says, okay, folks, close your eyes. We've got to fill. No, can you imagine in the temple in the Old Testament, that smoke that filled the temple from the glory of God was replaced by a fog machine? No, we can't. And so when we talk about the end times watchfulness, when we talk about the fog machine gospel, we're talking about a violation of the sacred sanctuary becoming a stage. And it's really catastrophic corruption that is hollowing out our modern worship. And in thousands of sanctuaries, trembling reverence before the Creator has been exchanged for this dark concert-style theater environment, and with flashing lights and with synthetic fog, like I said, and emotional soundtracks engineered to produce this artificial high, whipping people up emotionally. Biblical exposition has been replaced by motivational storytelling. I don't need to hear a 5-minute sermonette, and 2.5 minutes of which are a story about my Uncle Tom who cracked his toenail. I don't need to hear any of that garbage. And I need to be singing majestic hymns instead of repetitive, self-absorbed anthems. I want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and not confuse the Holy Spirit with some physiological response to lighting and bass frequencies. And so this is a deadly spiritual fraud.
And Pastor Owen, would you not agree that churches, even if it's unconscious, it could be very conscious or they could be unconscious of their motive, they realize that they do not have the depth of understanding of the scriptures and of the gospel to adequately present it. So therefore, they need to add a whole ton of stuff to it to keep their audiences, keep them coming back, to keep them, to keep their attention focused. Because what they actually have to say in the realm of exegesis is very wanting. If you could pick up there.
Yes, and it's very sad. It's very sad because there's hungry sheep that need to be fed spiritual manna from above. And if you want to entertain, forgive me for saying this, entertain Philistines, you can't preach the blood of Christ. You can't preach about the gospel. As Pastor Joe said, you have to entertain. And the people, Chris, as you said, they're not used to solid, line upon line, faithful exposition of God, God's word, the whole counsel of God, but rather need to be entertained. If I could give you one brief anecdote,
sure.
A family member's church, not a mega church, but a very big church, probably 1,000 or so members. Sanctuary probably holds 750. When they received a new pastor, he wanted to make an impact on the people. And you would think he would be on his knees preparing a message that would just speak to the heart of the people. But what he did was he had arranged a zip line from the second story floor fire log down to the pulpit, and he ziplined down to the pulpit, and that was his grand entrance.
That was the reaction, laughter, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. It was laughter, and it was amazement. Oh, what a trip. He took this great chance, you know, to be suspended up on the second or third floor to come down. And is that what God's people need? Is that what God needs? The people in the pews are not the audience of our worship. Our worship should be directed to God himself. And we have lost a high view of God.
I can remember years ago when a friend of mine who was a member of a seeker-sensitive church on Long Island, New York, where I'm originally from, they actually openly and enthusiastically describe themselves as a seeker-sensitive church, meaning that they are designing their worship services and their sermons to appeal to the lost and their appetites and their preferences, their tastes. And this person was dead serious and very moved and choked up describing how wonderful his pastor was. And he said, last Sunday, he so moved us at the church when he preached his sermon pretending to be an angel, and he actually was dressed in a unitard with angel wings. And this man did not find this humorous or disgusting. He found it profound and moving. And I sat there with my jaw hanging open, and I can't even remember how I responded. I may have been too fearful of hurting his feelings or something. I don't know. It was years ago. I don't think I would react with silence if it happened again, if this individual told me this story. But that's just pure insanity. We have to go to our first commercial break. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a question from a listener and have you guys think about it. And then you'll be able to perhaps more adequately respond to it after having time to think about it. We have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. What is the best way to approach friends and loved ones who attend churches that lean heavily in the worshiptainment direction, when you're concerned they've drifted too far in that direction? So you guys can think about that. We'll have you respond to Seth in Hummelstown after we come back. If anybody else would like to join Seth with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Dave Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
And I just heard the wonderful news today from Sal D'Antona, one of the elders of Lynbrook Baptist Church in Lynbrook, Long Island, New York, that they are renewing their sponsorship for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I want to thank you, Sal, and the brethren at Lynbrook Baptist from the depths of my heart for your generosity and loyalty and love for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and putting your money where your mouth is, and making sure that this program remains in existence through your generosity. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. And we're now back with Pastor Joe Jackowitz, who is the pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, and also the founder and chairman of the board of First Love Ministries. And we have with him his co-pastor at Christ Bible Church, Owen Alford, and he is also on the board of First Love Ministries. We are promoting the exciting event that they have coming up, the second annual First Love West Coast Bible Conference, September 17th, 18th, and 19th, on the theme End Times Watchfulness. You can find out more details on that at firstloveministries.org and click on events. And today, our theme, our specific theme of our interview, is the Smoke Machine Gospel, How Entertainment Replaced Reverent Worship. Before we went to the break, I read a question from Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. What is the best way to approach friends and loved ones who attend churches that lean heavily in the worshiptainment direction when you're concerned they've drifted too far in that direction? Any thoughts on that, Pastor Joe?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to realize that any kind of understanding in any depth of doctrinal or spiritual understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. So there's only so much you can do in trying to explain the proper interpretation and accurate meaning of the Word of God. It requires spiritual illumination, as the Bible talks about. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. So first thing I would suggest is you pray. Pray that God would open the eyes of such a person to deeper teaching and theology and accurate interpretation. Secondly, don't get angry because they don't understand, because God doesn't reveal the very depths of Scripture to us overnight. Little by little, He does. I remember the first year I got saved, I understood maybe 10-20% of what I read in the Bible. But it took some years, so that after many years went by, I understood maybe 60-80% of what I read. So God doesn't feed us with meat and steak that you like. very quickly. He feeds us with milk and with baby food at first, so that until our spiritual and doctrinal digestive system can handle the meat. So be patient, keep reading, but encourage, thirdly, those folks to have an open mind, be nice about it, don't be confrontational at all, because you're not going to twist their arm or coerce them into believing. What I like to do is I like to get paperback books out there that interpret the cessationist position faithfully. And I would have some of those books handy in case you run into a Word of Faith or a charismatic person. And just hand them the book instead of getting into an argument. Say, look, do me a favor, read this book and tell me what you think, and let's get back and talk about it. And when you get back together, if they still disagree, say, okay, well, agree to disagree and move on. Don't argue with them about it, because you can't change their mind. Nobody can change anybody else's mind unless the Holy Spirit does. So I will continue to pray for them at that point.
Any answer of your own, Owen?
Yeah, you know, I think we can trace, I would offer just a couple of things. And Seth, I appreciate the term worshipainment. I had not heard that before. That's a very apt description. I think historically, if you look at how this happened in this Christian church, it was really right after the Jesus movement. And there was a big influx of what I would say were Christian musicians who came into the church and said, this is the way we need to do it. So in addition to the mega church type movement, you have a music movement that happened. And I think there was a lot started with that. But if a friend was caught up in it, I would remind them of some of the verses, in Psalm 50, God had to reprove the psalmist. He said, thou thoughtest I was altogether one such as thyself, but I will reprove thee. God is not need to be entertained as though he is a man, is a celebrity. God is high and lifted up. He's majestic. You would think there would be an obvious distinction and difference in how we would approach God as opposed to approaching man. But I agree with what Joe said. Be patient. Try to point out the difference. You know, as the Old Testament priests, in Leviticus, they were told to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane.
And something that you said, I think, is key, because I don't think that worship services, whether consciously or unconsciously, are, especially when you're talking about the larger churches, churches that do not practice the regulative principle of worship. They are not designing their worship directed toward God. They're directing the worship towards the people in the pews or the folding chairs. They are trying to keep them coming to their gatherings, and they're trying to have new people, obviously, come in, and they believe this is the key to appeal to their tastes, to have a more modern approach. I had a dear friend once, a Pentecostal brother that I've known for many years. He visited the worship service at my former church where I was saved, on Long Island, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. And he said, I don't know how you people can expect to grow when you're playing that lifeless, dead music. And I said to him, these are the greatest hymns of the faith, and they're theologically rich. And much of the modern music, not all, but much of the modern music that are being played and sung in churches are shallow, theologically weak songs and music geared to entertain us. And I say, you know, even when you read the Psalms, the Old Covenant's hymn book, the depth and the reverence and the awe and the worshipfulness of the lyrics is a far cry from the nonsense very often that is sung in churches today. I remember being in a local Pentecostal church where I was born and raised, and I went there out of respect to a friend who invited me, and they opened up the worship service with a song that for at least 5 minutes all the worship leader and the congregation kept chanting over and over again was, "This is how we worship him, clap your hands. This is how we worship him, clap your hands." And I remember thinking, I was singing along for about 30 seconds, but when I realized this was going to go on, I dropped my hands to my side, and I was getting angrier and angrier. And I remember thinking, if I had a child and they had a Sunday school hour for children and they were singing this even to little children, I'd be upset that it was even more ridiculously shallow, too shallow for children. But anyway, any comments, Joe?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's so sensory oriented, much of the worship, instead of Word of God, Holy Spirit oriented. And there are many tests in the Bible that we have from the Lord to determine the difference between sensory worship and reverent worship rooted in the Word of God and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You know, as Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, who said, "The worship of God is the subject of revelation, not of invention. God doesn't need inventors to make up new things to keep people's attention." The Puritan Stephen Charnock argued that because God is an infinite, uncreated spirit, he must be worshipped according to his revealed nature and commands. We can't just worship him any way we want to. Reformed theology identifies this as the regulative principle of worship. In other words, God determines how he is approached, how he is to be worshipped. And fallen imagination has no authoritative power to improve his own word, which teaches us how to worship him. And so when men add theatrical inventions to divine worship, they commit practical atheism.
Yes, and Pastor Owen, going back to the regulative principle of worship, don't you think a key to why churches often drift into this worshiptainment is because they're not using the scripture alone as a blueprint for how to worship God, how to approach him in worship? And I've even heard people who agree with us doctrinally, but believe it is wrong to thwart creativity in New Testament worship. They seem to be giving the idea that the Old Covenant had some kind of stranglehold on how we approach God in worship, and in the New Covenant, we've been liberated from that, and we can use our creativity. That actually reminds me of another point you brought up in your theme today, Joe. Strange fire when man invents worship, taken from that chilling account in Leviticus 10, 1 to 3, where when the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, used their creativity in the fire they offered to God that was not specifically prescribed in the Hebrew scriptures, and the Lord killed them. They were devoured in flame. But you want to comment on that? I guess we'll first have Pastor Owen comment.
Yeah, so Chris, I agree. I say absolutely the Word of God has been neglected as far as ordering our worship, especially with something as holy and sublime as worshiping our God. He does not leave us to our own creativity in that sphere. And I know Joe is going to talk about Nadab and Abihu, but there's references throughout the Bible. Think of Elijah on Mount Carmel, where the false priests, you had the 850, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 priests, and they built an altar and they did all these things. And very specifically, when it talks what Elijah did, he did everything according to the word of the Lord. And then the fire fell. I've heard the same argument, Chris, that you mentioned about the hymns being dry and dusty, the worship being dry and dusty, and people are missing the point. Again, God is to be worshipped. God has told us how he needs to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. He's given us several things in the scripture. And it's as Joe had said, it's very sad situation today when people are being entertained instead of God being worshipped.
And Joe, any further comments?
Yeah, I think it's not more than sad. It's tragic. It's scandalous. It's an abomination what's going on in so-called sanctuaries and churches today. The Lord Jesus must be grieved beyond imagination on his holy throne when he looks down from heaven and sees what's taking place in our churches in the name of worship. It is incredible. Nadab and Abihu, the priests of God, they were truly called priests. And they were ordained priests in the tabernacle of the true God of the Bible. Yet they introduced a human innovation into his sacred presence, assuming that sincere intentions would make up for unauthorized methods that were unacceptable by God. It says in the scripture in Leviticus 10 that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron hold his peace. How many pastors, how many jokesters, how many clowns, how many performers are making a mockery of the true worship of God? And instead of God pouring out fire and brimstone like he did on Nadab and Abihu, he's raining back, he's holding in his wrath and reserving it for judgment day. And Nadab and Abihu's crime was profane fire. Worship that God had not commanded. And the Lord did not applaud their innovation and creativity because he doesn't negotiate his holiness. He doesn't dilute his holiness, especially in worship when everyone's looking. He's not going to dishonor himself and change the paradigm and say, "Oh, you can worship any way you want to." And so the censers of Nadab and Abihu became monuments to the truth that those who draw near must regard him as by him before the people. And Aaron remained silent because God was perfectly just. And Aaron knew that. And so this synthetic smoke and this concert lighting and this psychological new techniques cannot be treated as harmless additions to our worship services. when they replace the holy order revealed in Scripture, which is the regulative principle. Let's take all of these physical sensory things away. Let's worship God by faith in Jesus Christ and pour out our hearts in faith to Christ, believing He is our mediator, He is our high priest, interceding for us before the throne of God. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Let's stop the innovation. Let's stop the worldly entertainment. Let's stop using creative methods to bring people in to the church when solid preaching, when crying out to God in prayer, when trusting God to build His own church by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preached word of God won't do it. Nothing else will, Chris.
Amen. And it's interesting that you will have Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox justifying their use of incense, and even some Anglicans will justify their use of incense by bringing up the fact that incense was used in the Old Testament as a legitimate act of worship, like, for instance, in 2 Chronicles 13:11, every morning and evening they'd burn to the Lord burnt offerings and fragrant incense, and the showbread is set on the clean table, and so on. Well, that just shows you that you have to worship God specifically and exactly how He commands worship. And Nadab and Abihu had a unique incense that they were offering. That's what raised the ire and the wrath of the Lord against them. You can have something that has an appearance or an element of truth, or especially when it comes to the Old Testament, that it looks like it may be something acceptable for worship. Like you always hear people using the instance of David dancing as an excuse for any kind of dance in a New Testament worship. Well, the Old Testament was not meant to be a license for us to imitate certain events of history that took place in the Old Testament and try to imitate them in the New Testament worship in a way that was not even done in the Old Testament. And this is where I was talking about the creativity involved that people think is acceptable, like the waving of flags and all that in many worship services today, especially charismatic ones.
I would ask, Chris, you know, if someone wants to say they're using incense in their services because the Old Testament did, then I want to ask, are they also offering blood sacrifices?
Right.
The argument quickly breaks down because it's all or nothing. It's God's way or man's way.
And I'm going to read another question for you from a listener who chooses to remain anonymous for some reason. And we'll have you answer it when we come back from our midway break. The anonymous listener says, if God truly takes just as seriously the worship offered unto Himself today as He did in the Old Testament, why don't you see people in false churches offering false worship being consumed in flame today, as did happen with Nadab and Abihu? All right, we'll have you folks comment on that when we return from our midway break. Anybody else can join us at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide financial support for us every single month, but on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners, simply if those listeners mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry they already have in stock or having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, please go to royaldiadem.com, and that way you will ensure that not only will you or your loved one get a wonderful, breathtaking, head-turning, mind-blowing piece of jewelry, but we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will receive a gift as well, because we will get 100% of the profits from that sale, helping us to remain in existence. That's royaldiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to this fascinating conversation with Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder and chairman of the board at First Love Ministries, and also his co-pastor, Owen Alford, at Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Before I return to this conversation, I want to remind you how much we need your financial help here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, if you love the show and want it to remain in existence, send in a gift by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card, and if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your local post office to a physical mailing address. There will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we ask of you and we urge you to help us financially, but I never want anybody in my audience to ever give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. And Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, as I have done with many listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the globe. I have helped people in our audience at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the continent of Africa, in the United Kingdom, in the Republic of Ireland, in Germany, in the Netherlands. And I can go on and on with places on the planet where I have found churches, biblically faithful churches for listeners. Mexico just popped into my mind. So please, no matter where you live, if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Joe Jackowitz and Owen Alford. And if you just tuned us in, our theme for the program today is the Smoke Machine Gospel, How Entertainment Replaced Reverent Worship. chrisarnson@gmail.com is our email address. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Once again, I want to remind you of the conference we are also promoting, End Times Watchfulness, which is the theme. It is the second annual First Love West Coast Bible Conference, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if you want more details on registering, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org. It will be held at Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. So anybody listening who is able to get there by plane, train, or automobile, we hope that you will attend September 17th through the 19th. And once again, the website is firstloveministries.org. Click on events and then click on upcoming events and scroll down to the End Time Watchfulness Conference. Before I go back to an anonymous listener's question, during the break, Joe Jackowitz just gave me exciting news about giveaways that he wants to provide for our listeners who submit questions today. And tell us about these giveaways, Joe.
Okay, not only will we be giving away thousands of books at our West Coast Conference coming up in just a little over, or a little under a month, but just for today, in this second hour of your program, I have four books that I'm going to give away to anyone who writes to you, sends an email, and requests it with your mailing address, just your name and your mailing address, not for $100, not for $50, not for $10, not for postage and handling only, absolutely free. Four books. Now, the theme of today's program is the strange fire, right? Concerning Nadab and Abihu. And so I am going to give away a book that many of our listeners are very familiar with, Strange Fire by John MacArthur.
Wow.
You're familiar with that book?
Yes, I am.
Strange Fire by John MacArthur. If you bought this on his website, it costs you $15 to $20. In many places, this book goes for more than $20. Absolutely free. If you write to chrisarnson@gmail.com, give me your name, your address, your mailing address. Secondly, in along those lines, we are also giving away John MacArthur's booklet, Are the Gifts for Today? Are the spiritual gifts, the extraordinary gifts, like speaking in tongues, miraculous healings, slaying in the spirit, all that stuff, is it for today? This is like a 25, 30-page booklet, 30, 40-page booklet published by Grace to You, John MacArthur, the set, Are the Gifts for Today, and Strange Fire. It will start your resupply of ammunition, okay? And then two more books, believe it or not, total of four, to strengthen your doctrinal foundation, Bite-Sized Theology by Peter Jeffrey.
Yes.
Very good Reformed theologian. He covers the basics of Christian doctrine, redemption, justification, sin, the Trinity, and many others. Bite-sized theology in a very short but sweet and biblical way of explaining it. We will add that third book to the package. And then last but not least, all right, a little bit more practical here, Chris. Lies men believe and the truth that sets them free. In our culture, we have so many deceptions and lies being told to our men in churches and elsewhere about who they are, who they're not. And we will send you this hardback book that is 300 pages long.
Wow.
Lies Men Believe, four volumes for free. No postage. You say, do you take donations? Yes, but we don't ask for them. If the Lord leads you, right. But if you go to Chris Arnzen at his email address, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Yes, and just request a four-book package from today's program. We will send this out to you within a couple of days. You should have it within a week and get you going.
Now, who is the author of the last book, Lies That, is it that people believe or Christians?
Oh, I forgot to say. Robert Wolgemuth. Robert Wolgemuth.
Okay.
Robert Wolgemuth. And he has a close affiliation with R.C. Sproul. And he's written over two books, and he co-wrote a book with Dr. Sproul called What's in the Bible.
Huh.
So,
by the way, Peter Jeffrey, go ahead, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, I'm done.
Peter Jeffrey was actually a personal friend of mine. He was pastoring in Port Talbot, Wales. And the church where I was saved on Long Island, originally it was called Calvary Baptist Church of Long Island in Amityville, and it later changed names to Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick when we merged with another church. But my pastor, who baptized me, Mike Gadosh, would invite Peter Jeffrey here to the United States to preach for us on a number of occasions, and it just so happened that providentially, one of the times Peter was on Long Island was while my mother, Virginia, was on her deathbed in 1995, and I asked Peter, would you please sit alone in my mother's living room at her deathbed and be with her for about a half hour or so, and I told him she's already made it clear that she believes the gospel, but I am paranoid. She has been a Roman Catholic her whole life, and she was very much involved in idolatry and so on, but I am confident she has renounced those things and has trusted only in Christ's finished work on the cross. But I would like somebody else to confirm this. And he did sit with her for at least a half hour. And I can still remember to this day, Peter Jeffrey emerging from my mother's house as I waited outside anxiously for him to come out and tell me what he thought. And he said in his very thick Welsh accent, I don't know what you're worried about. Your mother's going to heaven. She's born again, you know. So I just praise God for that extra confirmation and affirmation of my mother's true faith before she went on into eternity. And I'm wondering if Peter has met her by now, because he is in eternity as well. But an excellent author, an author who purposely wrote for your average person to read and absorb what the most profound biblical truths are. He always made sure that he laid them out in plain and simple ways. So that I'm very glad that you included one of Peter Jeffrey's books. So you're saying that each person gets all four. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, each person.
Okay, the anonymous listener before the break was asking, why is it that today you don't see people involved in false worship bursting into flame like Nadab and Abihu if God truly takes just as seriously false worship today? And Joe, do you want to start?
Well, I think we're in two different covenants and two different economies. The old covenant, the Old Testament, laid down stricter laws against certain violations. For example, if someone worked on the Sabbath day, they were to be stoned to death. If other violations of certain Levitical ordinances and rules were violated, there would be strict penalties, even the death penalty. So the same is true with this thing. When you carry over into the New Testament, we have the removal of all of those ordinances and metaphorical, allegorical laws which were fulfilled in Christ. And God's patience pulls back, as it were. But we're not under a civil, Levitical, theocratical rule today. And when we go to church to worship the God of the Bible, true God of the Bible, those laws have been fulfilled in Christ. And now if we violate the Sabbath, or if someone doesn't go to church on Sunday, you're not going to have a bunch of church members standing outside the door with rocks in their hands ready to stone them when they come outside. Because Christ has fulfilled all those laws. He's taken the penalty of our sins upon himself. And even for those who are not converted, those Old Testament ordinances have been fulfilled in Christ. Of course, God has the prerogative to step in anytime he wants and punish people and chastise them, even unto death, but he does so at his own desire.
But should people conclude from this that God takes these things less seriously?
Go ahead, Joe. I would say absolutely not. I would not take them less seriously. The moral law of the Old Testament rolls over into the New Testament. So there are hundreds of moral laws that are still applied today that God is just as serious about as he was in the Old Testament. The ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Christ.
And Owen, you were just about to say something.
Yeah, I would say I agree with Joe, but also just because people are not being, you know, consumed in an instant does not mean that God is passive in this whole thing. Psalm 106, speaking about the Israelites in the wilderness, said they soon forgot his counsel and they waited not for his word. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. And they tempted God in the desert. Remember, they wanted the quail. They wanted the meat. And the scripture says, he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. I think the mega churches are undergoing that particular type of judgment, leanness into their soul. I've met people, brothers and sisters, I think genuine brothers and sisters, in some of these churches, and they all ask the same thing. Is that all there is in church? Is God's word that shallow? There's a leanness and judgment. 1 Peter chapter 4, judgment begins at the house of God. Just because we don't see, you know, spontaneous combustion does not mean that God is happy at all. I think that's a judgment right there, leanness, spiritual leanness.
Yes, and since we believe that God is immutable, he does not change, just because of the fact that he deals with his people differently at different times and in different covenants does not mean that he loves any differently than the old covenant or hates any differently in the new covenant. That he is the same, correct?
Agreed.
Correct.
And Joe, you brought up before the show that Psalm 19, verse 7 has a lot to do with why you hold to the regulative principle, if you want to bring that up again. And I'll read it for our listeners. Let's see here. Let me get to that text in Psalm 19, 7. We read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Okay, you may explain why this is such an important text in your belief system connected with the regulative principle.
The regulative principle is a fancy way of saying that our worship services and our activities during worship are to be regulated and guided by the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the objective, foolproof, trustworthy source of knowing the perfect will of God, of being governed properly by God's ordinances, and by being taught the way we're to worship, taught the knowledge of God. It is communicated to us all through the Word of God. And the Word of God is objective. It's not subjective. It's not open to personal or private interpretation. And the Word of God teaches us how to worship, why we're to worship, the very elements of what worship is, so that people who approach Him with false worship and false understanding of His nature and how He is to be approached will not be judged and will not be punished and will not suffer accordingly, because they're worshiping the wrong way and they're worshiping the wrong God. Our enemy Satan likes to present a false God to people and worship Him in a way that displeases God. And so we need to be very precise, as very careful, very accurate, according right down to the jot and tittles of the Bible, in how we approach God. We read about that in the Old Testament. Be very careful how you approach God when the things that you say in the house of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that God's word is the very instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit that brings about life and regeneration and holiness and renewal of spiritual life. So the Word of God is central whenever God creates or renews and rejuvenates spiritual life. If we remove the Word of God from the process of worship, the process of evangelism, the process of walking with God in holiness, we remove the most important instrument He has ordained and He has designed to have us grow and to come into the knowledge of God. That is the regulative principle. It regulates our knowledge, our understanding, our worship, our communication of the gospel. Everything we come to know about God, it directs us in the right direction, communicates the right knowledge of God.
Amen. And we have Katie in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. And Katie says, "How do we prevent ourselves from using our own tastes when it comes to worship to prevent us from both extremes of accepting unbiblical worship as legitimate and also criticizing legitimate worship as unbiblical when our tastes are driving either extreme?" I think that's a very good question. You want to start, Joe?
Okay. How do you avoid going to extremes when you worship?
And using your tastes, your personal taste, because you might have a personal taste for old-fashioned music, as they say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We all have personal tastes and styles, but a lot of those tastes and personal styles of worship are not
are not endued with the grace of God required to stir up the soul and feed and nourish our souls. We absolutely cannot rely upon emotions, personal tastes, personal styles of worship as the equivalent or compatible with true worship. Jesus taught the woman at the well. The woman at the well. He says, you don't know what you're worshiping. The Samaritans say, you got to go to this mountain, Mount Gerizim, to worship. You Jews say, she said, you got to go to Jerusalem. But look, there's no physical or sensory place that is ideal to worship. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we worship him in spirit. How do we avoid misunderstanding worship in the spirit and fall into personal tastes and personal forms and likes and dislikes? Well, the word of God. We worship in spirit, but also in the truth. So the word of God, the Bible, contains a list of truths and regulations and guidelines to examine whether our is rooted in sense and emotion and pure personal likes and dislikes. The word of God will filter out all of those extremes that you refer to. If we pass the test and the muster of the word of God, then we can be assured that our worship is acceptable. Remember, on the other hand, the other extreme that you refer to, godly emotions connected with true worship. But godly emotions are not rooted in sinful emotional expressions. Godly emotions are regular. The word of God, peace, joy, long-suffering, and so forth. So when we're filled with the Spirit, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is self-control. Are our affections and emotions that are engaged, but they must pass the filter and the lens of the word of God for them to be godly emotions.
And Owen, do you have anything to add to that?
I know that balance, in general, balance in the Christian life is always difficult. She used the words extremes. I think we can stay away from the extremes, the black and the white. We start questioning ourselves when we get into that light gray, medium gray, dark gray, that middle area, that middle ground. But again, as Pastor Joe said, you know, taking into consideration word and spirit, I think we have a balance. Paul said, I think, 3 times in the scripture, in the New Testament, he asked the rhetorical question, what saith the scripture? And we have to bring everything to the bar of scripture and go from there.
Yes, and there are, I think, some guidelines that may help us to determine whether something we are doing in worship is done in an appropriate way. I mean, we've already said that the Bible, and when you're talking about the regulative principle of worship for Christians, it's the New Testament that is our blueprint. And like, for instance, even though singing psalms is an acceptable form of worship, it is repeated in the New Testament to praise the Lord with psalms, hymns, and the spiritual songs. But you can really examine, I think, whether or not something you're doing is detracting from the clarity of the word being preached, taught, and sung. If you can't even understand the lyrics, or if you are having the predominant worship being conducted by a praise band or a solo artist or a trio or a choir where it is not participation of the congregation that is predominant. I believe that is a way of saying that this is not correct. In fact, I don't want to get too many people upset, but there are Christians, including men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who did not believe in using choirs and so on. Now, I'm not going to get on everybody's case who has a choir, but I think that every church that has a choir should be examining how dominant that choir is, how much time in the worship service is dedicated to a choir singing, because we're not supposed to be passive observers and to be sitting back watching and listening. When it comes to the singing, obviously we are to be sitting back and listening. When it comes to the preaching, we're not to be, other than perhaps shouting amen and so forth, we're not to be speaking during and interrupting the pastor or the preacher. But any thoughts on what I just said, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's very, very subtle and very, very disservice when our feelings are stirred up by the music and by agitation to misinterpret that as the Spirit of God working. This idea of the smoke machine gospel substitutes sensory manipulation for the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You got all kinds of musical and noise-based things coming at you at such churches. There's chord progressions, there's ambient sound, there's light changes, there's emotional suggestions, which they can produce the goosebumps and the tears from flowing and a sense of euphoria, but a biological response is not the Holy Spirit. Then secular entertainment can produce the same reaction, and they do. And the Apostle Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so Paul rejects faith resting upon human techniques that is trying to stimulate a sensory response. And when spiritual excitement depends upon the production, the theater production, it vanishes when the production stops because it was never rooted in the Spirit's resurrecting power in the first place. And so true conviction exposes sin. True conviction of the Spirit produces repentance that doesn't easily go away an hour later when the worship service is over. True conviction drives up a soul to Jesus Christ. Manipulation, on the other hand, flatters the senses and leaves the sinner peaceful while he's still in a state of rebellion. And so the fear of the Lord is born when a sinner confronts God's blinding purity in Scripture. And it produces, in response, trembling. It produces awe. It produces self-abasement and an urgent flight to the cross for mercy. It doesn't turn from the cross and try to go deeper in immerse in the music and try to run up on stage with tears flowing and try to join in the drama production. No. Manufactured euphoria offers emotion. And when the music fades, Chris, and the lights rise up, is your confidence resting in Christ or in the feelings men produced? That's the question.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our final break. Time is certainly flying by. If you have a final question of your own, please submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question is a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these final messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, this is Brian Nyan, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I also want to thank our dear friends who published the New American Standard Bible for letting me know today that they have renewed their sponsorship of this program. Thank you so much. And remember, if you would like to purchase a New American Standard Bible, or perhaps even supply all of the pews in your church building with New American Standard Bibles, go to nasbible.com, nasbible.com. Make sure you mention when making your purchase that you heard about the publishers of the NASB from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And this program is also paid for in part by our dear friends at the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're ever the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call my longtime friend since 1991, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. David A. Harrell as our keynote speaker, pastor of Calvary Bible Church of Jolton, Tennessee, and author of a number of books, including his book, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity, which is the book from which he is drawing his keynote address. Not only is admission free and your meal free, but every man attending will receive one and possibly two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. Send me your registration by email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Make sure you give us your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And I know Pastor Joe Jackowitz wants to repeat the information about his event coming up in September, and feel free to do so, Joe.
Okay, we have the second annual First Love Ministries West Coast Bible Conference coming up on September 17th through 19th. That's Thursday through Saturday, September 17th through 19th. We'll be giving away a sample, and everything is free admission, registration. But you do need to register online at ChristBibleChurch.org or FirstLoveMinistry.org. Other besides ChristBibleChurch.org or FirstLoveMinistries.org. 10 speakers. Hopefully you'll be there, Chris. Pastor Owen Alford, who's my co-pastor on the other line, he'll be there, God willing. Myself, Dr. Edward Dalcor, Dr. Paul Nelson, Pastor Tom Smith, and about 7 or 8 of speakers who will deliver messages on the theme of end times watchfulness. Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Well, we want to stir folks up about that, to be ready so that we can have confidence before him at his coming. That's ChristBibleChurch.org or FirstLoveMinistries.org. Now, we one last time, we're giving away, this is the last time I'm going to mention it. We don't have any time left in the program. Four books. The first time I ever did this.
You're frozen, unfortunately.
By the way, I'm a book transpirer, free of charge, Lies Men Believe by Robert Wolgamuth, Bite-Sized Theology by Peter Jeffrey, and Are the Gifts for Today by John MacArthur, if you will write to Chris Arnson.
Amen.
And request it.
Okay. Let's see here. We have Brian in Garden City, Long Island, New York. And Brian says, do you believe that even traditional sacred music can often go overboard with its loudness or any other quality about it that distracts from the ability of the congregation to hear properly and also to worship, as you mentioned earlier, congregationally? Yeah, I've been in a very famous Reformed church who will remain nameless, where the brass band, even though they were performing very traditional hymnody and so on, it was so loud I couldn't hear anybody singing. But anyway, you have any your own comments, Joe?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Any form of music can be blasted at you and can be rooted in the flesh. Anything spiritual can be counterfeited, whether it be music or the word or the and things of the spirit, they can be counterfeited or they can be fleshly abused, anything.
And Owen, do you have anything to say?
I can't add to that. I agree with both of you. Yes, there are abuses, unfortunately.
Okay, and we have time for one more question from Susan in Newville, Pennsylvania. And Susan asks, is a sign that the hymns or songs of praise you're singing in worship are not biblical is if the lyrics are geared far more to the person or people singing than to God? Yeah, are they man-centered or God-centered? Any comments, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we worship God, and the more man-centered our worship is, whether it be in the music or the teaching, preaching, or the activities of worship, the more our attention is on man, the less God's going to be worshiped and present. So, yes, in answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are actually out of time, and I want to make sure that you have the website once again of First Love Ministries, firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org, and of course, Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California is christbiblechurch.org, christbiblechurch.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Joe and Pastor Owen, for doing such a wonderful job today. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.